Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
And Dana, are you filling up on anything special this morning?
Just water.
Just water.
I know. This show is called What's Brewing CISFA, and we haven't been drinking.
Have we already kicked ourselves out of the coffee world? Well, we know we you know, it's a nonprofit show, so we can't be, you know, making deals with any kind of coffee people quite yet.
Okay. You know, okay.
Only after we're in syndication or whatever, and then we can have, you know, some local place, you know, sponsor us or whatever.
That would be super awesome.
Yeah, that would be. Again, and then, you know,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
I say then they can send us a sack of beans, you know, every month or whatever.
Yeah, I would like that. That'd be so cool. No, I was going to say that, you know, it's getting colder now. So, you know, hopefully have some more, you know, suggestions and, you know, more regular coffees.
Maybe one of these things, you know, as we hopefully get into interview season soon enough with more interviewees, is that we'll put together like our three questions we ask every interviewing. One of them might be like, what's your morning drink?
Okay.
You know, something like that. You know, find out what other people are drinking early in the morning.
Alrighty. You know, and are we going to ask that, you know, other question? So what are you thinking? What are you drinking after hours?
Oh, we could do that too. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. You know, that is part of our line of work, and all. I like that. Yeah. Keep them on their toes.
Yeah, definitely.
and you get to see how honest people are too.
That's true.
That's right. True. You know, is, you know, I did tell you, you know, from the, Dodger games that I found out that michelada stuff is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even when it's now.
Even when it comes like pre-made in the can from one of those little breweries or whatever that sells beers and stuff at the game, it's pretty good. That's a great tomato-based thing, you know.
I see you really feeling that.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately with the alcohol, I can't just be drinking those in the morning, but I can see how those can be refreshing.
Yeah, definitely after a hard day of work or like you said, when you're at the game, for sure.
Absolutely.
You can just always just Uber it to the game, Dennis, and then have your fill.
That's true. That's true. That's right. Yeah. Well, today, Dana, because it's our Tuesday show and, you know, Friday's our interviews and end of the week stuff, I got a bunch of news items that we can run through today for our people out there. So one thing I wanted to just throw out there before we even get into the news is oftentimes you'll hear me and Dana say, we're going to put a link to our story in our show notes and stuff. So what that means usually is for those who are getting us through like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, where you're on a device and it's not just maybe you in the car where you're doing Spotify or such, and thus you don't have data on your screen. When you're in like your Apple Podcast, for example, you'll see our summary of the show, and in there we'll have the notes that we've placed for our different articles, and you'll see links to those directly in that. So you'd be able to click on it and then go to the articles or the books we talk about. When Dana comes up with some musical suggestions, same thing. I always put like a link to find that musician's website or how to get to that album, you know, through some online mass marketer. So I guess I kind of put that out there again for people, you know, because we've got a lot of news this morning, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So let's kick it off here. So there's a new website I found recently called realclear education.com. It's similar to Real Clear Politics. For those who might be following politics over this last week or the last years, Real Clear Politics is a really great site. It's an aggregator of articles and data. And Real Clear Education covers all aspects of education, including higher education. So there is a good article on the site titled, "Don't Ask, Is College Worth It? Ask, Which College Degrees Are Worth It?" Instead, it takes the viewpoint that asking the question about the worth of college is way too general, and instead, we should view it and ask whether the student's major and degree are worth the investment of time, money, and especially for those students who need to take out student loans, is it worth it to take out those student loans? So it's a very interesting reading. We will definitely have the link to realcleareducation.com and the specific article in our show notes.
And hey, Dennis, another good article at Real Clear Education that came out in late October and related to our line of work is titled "Simplifying the FAFSA is More Important Than Ever." Reading from the start of the article, "The COVID-19 pandemic has had a startling impact on the college aspirations of students from low-income backgrounds. Around 100,000 fewer high school seniors completed the FAFSA this spring than in the previous year." It's very interesting stuff, and it really points to how FAFSA simplification and how there are at least 30 questions on the FAFSA that are answered by less than 1% of applicants could be eliminated in making the FAFSA more user-friendly and hopefully increase the number of applicants. We'll definitely put a link to the story in our show notes.
Yeah, I read that one too, and again, it is interesting because, you know, it's all this talk about simplifying the FAFSA has been around forever, right?
Right,
And I mean, there's the Senator Lamar Alexander, who I think retired this year, and so his seat was up, and has been on the Education Subcommittee of the Senate forever, has put forth, you know, a super short FAFSA, like 7 questions. And some people laugh it off. Oh, that's too little. How are you going to collect this and this and this? How are we going to know this and this and this? But the idea was that I think it helps tie into, and there's been this talk about, why don't we just, because we have IRS data for people, use that to kind of like pre-qualify them. So Dana files her tax return in April, and the IRS sends back, based upon data that's automatically sent to the Department of Ed, or maybe you have to say, approve to do so. It's all governments, you never know. And you then get back information about financial aid eligibility. So, you know, and then I think they're right. There's at least 30 questions. I mean, everything that's asking you about your degrees and programs and majors and all that, that's all stuff that schools should be, you know, screening for.
Right.
You know, and don't we, this has always been the other issue, is where in the past where we've used that to determine whether they're in an eligible program. Well, you know, is that really the data we want to use? No, we should be using what they said on their admissions app or when they've talked to their counselor, you know? I mean, so it really becomes duplicative efforts, and let's hope we get some actual FAFSA simplification.
I've got my fingers crossed right now, sir.
Yeah, I know. Look, it's a little like the IRS data retrieval tool. I remember hearing about that back in the 90s.
Okay.
I remember going to some conference, and I think it was Jeff Baker who, for those in the know, he retired, you know, in the last year or so, but he was the bigwig with the Department of Ed as far as policy liaison.
Old school.
And I can remember him, again, almost a couple decades ago, talking about how the Department of Ed is really working together with the IRS to get this data retrieval tool off the ground. And then, you know, like 15 years later, it finally happened.
And that's why you got to keep hope alive always, Dennis.
I'm all with you on that. I'm going to try to be aspirational on that. Now, something maybe not so aspirational, but the last article I'm going to bring up from the Real Clear Education website was titled, "Double Check Those Shocking Statistics on State Funding for Higher Education." So, Dana, you know, like I do, the general consensus in our community, you know, colleges and financial aid, and among our faculty and staff, is that funding for higher education has been on this steady decline over the last few years, if not a decade or more. But according to this article, that may be a speculative interpretation of data from just a very short period of time, you know, during these ups and downs in the economy and all, which really doesn't look at how spending per student over the past 20 years has actually gone up. And that means money per student that's going to the schools, even when adjusted for inflation. So it's definitely a good read for everyone who likes the story, likes that storyline or has wondered what's the real data behind it. But they go deeper than just a few years. They look at a decade or more of time and look at that underlying thing. And it's not quite the real story that everyone likes to use, the idea that suddenly we're all getting slashed in our budgets. So I'll definitely have a link for that in the show notes.
Hey, Dennis, let's give a shout out to our strongest competition in the financial aid podcasting universe, NASFA's Off the Cuff podcast. So their newest episode, number 171, dives into takeaways from the recent presidential election results. Although the outcome was still undecided at the time their show taped, although, you know, it came out before it taped. So also they talked about the status of a number of higher education initiatives in light of a lame duck Congress. Now, Dennis, you had to break down what lame duck bet for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's definitely give props to our NASFA folks, Justin, Megan, and Jill, and their whole production. Just keep in mind that we are hot on your trail. So that's watch out. We're coming for
That's right. Our numbers are increasing, everybody.
Yes, they are.
We're waiting to get to our millionth download. We're about a million away, everyone.
So we're hanging in there.
Please, if anything, share this show with your friends. I have non-financial aid friends out there, Mikey K, Brickhouse. He knows what I'm talking about. That listen to the show. And again, because you might learn something about financial aid, or we try to, again, keep it light. And again, we have the I Dare You To stuff alone. That might be worthwhile.
Yes.
But yes, we're hot on their trail over there at the off the cuff world. But lame duck, you're asking.
Yeah, yeah.
So as I understand it, it's the idea that, you know, we just had an election last week. Not thinking about the presidential one, but looking at like Congress, for example, where there's a bit of turnover coming up, right?
Right.
So these people are still going to be in session for at least another month or two till they leave office and the next guy comes in and takes over their office. So they call that like a lame duck period of time because it kind of changes the fact that, you know, if you're on the way out the door, it changes whether your perspective is I need to get something done and out of the way with my name on it, or it's like, we're just going to punt this to the incoming people and like let them take care of it. So that's what they mean by lame duck.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like this empty sessioning time. It's kind of like if you're looking at retirement, you know, do some people work really hard to make sure that that next person taking over their job has everything they need and gets well-trained, or do they see it like I'm retiring in 3 months, I'm already half sleeping, I guess fully go to sleep on my job. Not that anyone we know would ever do that, but
right.
You know, that's kind of the interpretation of what a lame duck Congresses that we have every 2 years at this point of time.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's another explanation that we'll throw in there in the non-acronym world of political and higher education terminology. So Dana, let's take a real quick musical interlude here and move our way on to our next part of the segments.
And welcome to our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for a refill. That was a lot of news.
Oh, man.
But hey,
it was a mouthful. Yeah.
It was. And I'm going to give you another mouthful here because we've got more news for everyone today.
Here we go. So, not to scare anybody, but NASFA reported that a recent Inspector General report found that the U.S. Department of Education does not have effective cybersecurity measures in place. Oh, boy. The report, which came out a couple of weeks ago, indicates the department has made considerable progress, but there is need for improvement in all of the categories they measured progress. The only scary quote in the story was as follows. Check this out, Dennis. Until the Department of Ed improves in these areas, it cannot ensure that its overall information security program adequately protects its systems and resources from compromise and loss. Now, everyone try to sleep well tonight.
Yeah, right. I think this is one of these that I think every couple years when they put out the report, it's about the same for them.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's actually better than other areas of the federal government. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, their Office of Inspector General there, which does all kinds of, obviously they investigate fraud, mm-hmm. internal fraud, like within offices, within their department, and from students, which is usually when we get interact with them, the potentials for fraud among students and how do you catch that and all that. But they obviously also look at internal systems and controls, and Department of Ed has a lot of data in our area, right? We've got 20 million FAFSAs, maybe a little less over the years, maybe 18 million FAFSA applicants every year. They've got all that data. They've got student loan data. They've got income data and so much more just on the student side and then everything about the colleges. So it's a little concerning, but, try not to scare yourself too much, everyone. Department of Ed is working hard always to make improvements. And, we've seen it over the years as they've, for students alone, right? Now it's studentaid.gov.
Right.
Is the front door for most students.
Mm-hmm.
You get and that's to your, really cool. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's really cool how it's all inclusive now, just make it one, just centralize everything.
Exactly. So
they're going to several different websites. Yeah.
And they don't have to log into studentaid.gov and FAFSA.gov and right. FSAID.ed.gov
mm-hmm.
and NSLDS and
right.
all these other things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, certainly mm-hmm. made it easier and hopefully secure on the back end. So, some other news from the feds. For those who are up for the challenge, this is a challenge for me. Federal Student Aid posted an electronic announcement on November 3rd, noting that the release of the 2021-2022 Federal School Code listing of participating schools was available. So the challenge I put forth to you is this, our listening audience. Try and memorize as many schools and codes as possible from the list. You can download the list in an Excel spreadsheet for your study and spend your nights memorizing numbers and names and numbers. We'll have a link to the electronic announcement in our show notes. But Dana, I put that out to people who've ever thought about, how good is my memory and my memory skills?
Oh, boy.
I think there's only...
How many have you memorized?
Barely my own school.
Same here.
Us and our local big Cal State University.
Okay.
And that's about it.
That's it?
Yeah. See, the problem is in our district, the LA Community College District, we have 9 colleges, so there are 9 federal school code numbers. Many of the colleges in our district have sequential numbers. But we're not part of that sequence because our school came around later. So, unfortunately, our number is a different one. I think we're 012550.
You got it.
Whereas most of our schools in our district are like a 001 or a 002 start. And then it's a sequence of numbers. So, trying to memorize them and get them all right is impossible. I try to memorize a few. But, it makes me think back to a book that was on my I Dare You to Read list a while ago from Joshua Foer, Moonwalking with Einstein, The Art and Science of Remembering Everything. And he's a reporter that gets involved with people who are involved with the USA Memory Championship. Sound interesting, Dana?
So there's a championship out there for memorization.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Where people, and there's different, it's like a, as it says here in the book, a mental decathlon.
Okay. Oh, okay. Got you.
So the World Memory Championship, which is related, has 10 events over 3 days, memorizing an unpublished poem, spanning several pages of random words. The record there, they say here, is 280 words in 15 minutes.
Wow.
A list of binary digits, you know, 01010001.
Okay.
The record there is 4,140 digits in 30 minutes.
Wow. Right? Wow.
Shuffled decks of playing cards, a list of historical dates and names and faces. It says here, some disciplines called speed events test how much the contestants can memorize in 5 minutes. The record is 405 digits. And two marathon disciplines test how many decks of cards and random digits they can memorize in an hour. So guess what the record on the digit number is? How many digits?
Oh, man. 100.
2,080.
Wow.
And get this. Memorizing in decks of cards. How many decks of cards do you think someone memorized the order of?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to 500?
Nah, 27 decks of cards.
27,
but that's like 1,000 plus, right? 52 cards in a deck, right? So yeah.
That's amazing.
So in the book, because I bought it because as I consider my memory is slipping here and there, I wanted to know if there was like some secrets. And so the book doesn't go into a lot of the secrets of how to memorize. But it does talk about some different mental things you can do when you're trying to memorize like a deck of cards. And it's all about association. And so we'll talk more about that on another show. But I just wanted to throw out there for those who would like to get to your federal school list.
That it's possible. This yes, can happen.
Exactly.
Oh, all right, Dennis. So also announced by Federal Student Aid was that their office and some of the federal Title IV processors and contact centers will be closed this Wednesday, November 11th, to observe the Veterans Day federal holiday.
Yeah, so everyone take that day off to remember and hopefully, you know, do the appropriate celebration for your veterans in your family and those that you know.
Absolutely.
So, Dana, let's go through a couple quick things here on some training offerings that have been listed out on the CASFA website. First and foremost, Adigo has a webinar on constructing a culture of teamwork. This is coming up on Tuesday, November 17th. Session will help you learn how to improve your collaborative skills and help you create a culture of teamwork for your office, even in these trying times. For more information, you can go to casfa.org/training. Another session coming up on Wednesday, November 18th, is from Campus Logic, and they're offering a webinar on new data around the financial barriers students face. They'll be discussing how minority and low-income students in the Western U.S. are impacted in their college journey and the importance of overcoming financial barriers to persistence, including FAFSA completion and award letter confusion. And we'll include a direct link to that webinar sign-up in our show notes.
Now, Dennis, I know you've talked about considering getting a doctorate in the past, correct?
Yes, on occasion.
So if you're wondering how to finance another graduate degree, Sallie Mae has a webinar on Wednesday, November 18th, on paying for graduate school. They'll be talking about the differences between federal and private student loans, scholarships, and other financing options. They'll focus on responsible borrowing, as many of us will need some loans to get our advanced degrees. We'll definitely include a direct link to the Sallie Mae webinar registration site in our show notes.
So, Dana, let's go back together and get our doctorates.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm down. If you're down, I'm down.
Let's not waste our time on education. Let's get medical degrees. I think those pay off better.
Okay, now see, now, hold on now.
All right, okay. Well, if that doesn't work, and we're going to stay in the type of work that we're doing here, our last pick here from the CASFA training website is a webinar that both of us really should consider attending as we want to grow this podcast and move into new projects. So Ascent is offering a webinar titled Brand.me, a personal branding workshop. They'll help us answer the questions of what are personal brands, why branding should be important to you, how to define your brand, how to cultivate your brand, and how to benefit from your brand. We'll include a link to their web registration in the show notes. So this is about branding here of our show and how to make Dana Yarbrough the famous Dana Yarbrough.
All right. Now, I like the sound of that. Yeah, I really do.
Definitely something that we'll have to look into. But Dana, we're at that point. We're going to do a little musical interlude and head into our last session here. And just like that, we're into our last segment of the show, the last sip. Get the last sip of your coffee / water / Michelada, whatever you're drinking this morning.
Whatever we're drinking this
morning. Or, we may have some late night show listeners. You never know. Maybe
that's
true. Maybe we help put people to sleep.
Oh.
And hopefully not until the end of the show, though, right?
Hopefully.
Oh, my goodness. So, Dana, any I Dare You To selections for today?
Not for today. Nothing. How about yourself?
We were talking. One of the training things was about teamwork and all. And so I, at the last CASFA conference in person, when they were out in Riverside County, out at the Mission Inn, there's a little bookstore around the corner. I think it's all within that, building area. Under Little Walk Street, I found this nice book called Vandalism, like Vandalism. It's called Vandalism, Do Not Destroy Your Group. And as it notes here on the bottom from the author, Julian Ridgway, so often bands commit commercial and musical suicide through vandalism. Now at least they can't argue that they haven't been warned. But it's, as it's defined on the back of the book, vandalism, noun. Willful or malicious destruction of or damage to a rock, pop, indie group brought about by one or more of its members. So it kind of tells you of all the signs that point to the fact that you may have members in your band that are trying to destroy the band from the inside.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So,
Dennis, I don't think I've mentioned this to you before.
Yeah.
I should have read that book when I was younger.
Yeah.
Cause I used to be in a gospel group.
Oh my. Okay. I mean, yes. I figured that before punk rock band.
So I'll have to tell you that story and, listeners one day. I'll tell you that story one day.
Please do. So save that for another day.
Yes.
Dana, do we have anyone lined up for an interview, you think, this Friday? Maybe?
So hopefully we might have one of our student workers this Friday. To come and talk with us to give us that student perspective.
Good.
So we'll see.
Wonderful. Yeah, we definitely want to know what's going on in their world out there.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Dana, otherwise, for today at least, that's about all we're going to have time for. But don't forget, people out there, there's always our next episode. So I want to thank my co-host Dana for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, remember to check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You will find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
And for this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcasts app. And you can always find episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's wbcccsfaaa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean as one word.
Send us feedback about the show. If you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
Yes, please give us some emails.
Yes.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of the magnificent Dana Yarbrough and myself.
This has been episode number 36, recorded the morning of Tuesday, November 10th, 2020.
Have a great day, everyone.
And have a great week.